Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for tonight for showing up. We thank you for dealing with souls here, Lord. We thank you for those who thought you had left them, Lord, and you're showing yourself to them again, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord. It is by your faith that we get saved. It's by your faith that we live, Lord. And I just pray for that faith to get into these young people, Lord. And people labor over them. They pray over them, Lord. And they just want to, we need them to see your faith, Lord. And it's not their self. It's not anything they do that can get them into heaven. But it's by everything you have done, Lord. Just pray that you put that faith inside of them, Lord. And just reveal it to them and give them comfort in that, Lord. And that they may turn their life over to you, O Heavenly Father, and live by that faith. Lord, I know when I got saved, Lord, it was no longer myself then. You stepped in there, Lord, and you took care of that for me because I didn't have faith in you, Lord. I had faith in nothing. I had nothing to cling on to in my life. You've given me that faith, Lord. You gave me that same faith, Lord. I'm your child today, and I just thank you that these young ones can get it, Lord. It's not a joke. It's not a game. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you'll work in their hearts. I pray that you'll touch them one more time. Just open their hearts and their minds to your faith, to what you would have for them, Lord, and that it just turn their life over to you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, please be merciful unto these young people. Teach them and show them, Lord, give them that saving faith. We'll give you thanks and praise for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Preacher, when you're done, we're done.
I told you about Stevie Williams. He never make up his mind with baseball. I'm going to tell you another story. This morning, I started talking about Michael Bumgarner, and the Lord just stopped me. Just whoop. Stop. Bobby lost his wife. Couldn't rule a woman. There was a time, I mean, he just couldn't. He didn't know how to rule a woman. And you're not a man if you don't know how to rule a woman. I got young men around here that are strong and trick looker and everything like that, and they can't rule a woman.
That's something.
They cannot rule a woman. Those are godless little wimps. They can't rule a woman. Okay? Can't rule a woman. You want to know what the first secret is to rule a woman?
Come on, people. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it.
You know what the next one is? The most tender heart.
Yeah. Amen.
With my wife, when I first proposed to her, I took her head and I put it against my chest.
That's right, yes, sir.
And I said, this is home. This is the only home I'm ever guaranteed. It'll always be home. Okay. Now, we've had some tough times. I've had some days on tough things. Love was the key, and then staying in that Bible, and staying in the house of God, staying there and keeping it there, ruling the world. And a man that can't do it is a godless ruler. Remember when I called you a wimp?
Yeah.
It's a man who couldn't see straight.
That's right.
Yeah. You're just a godless little wimp. Okay? Now, Bobby went on. Didn't see him for years. I remember at one point, his wife was playing the whore on him. And she was sleeping with other fellows. And she was pregnant. He didn't believe it was. But she came home and had the baby. Now, I'll never forget, he used to go over to Bobby's trailer. And it was like a bird's nest, all coated with clothes all over the floor. And that smell, if you've ever smelled, and you know, that welfare person's house that doesn't wash things, and it's just all over. And his two little girls, filthy, and just standing in their underwear, one about 8, one 6 years old, just standing there like that. And little Bubba, the baby, was in a car seat on the counter. And I've never seen a baby eat that much formula. I've never seen that. And they would just sit there bottle after bottle. And that baby just filthy and grimy with the stickiness of all that stuff on him. And Sheila had left again. And there's Bobby. He'd actually tell that baby, you're not even mine. I can get it. That stuff. And you go over to visit a house like that. What opens there? I remember one time Bobby went in the back room and I thought, I just wanted to go over there. Every little baby just wants to sum it a little up. And I started to touch it like that. And those two little girls in their underwear stood on the side of that baby and men's voices told me, leave him alone.
to see Bobby. And then one time the Lord really pressured me. You need to go see your friend Bobby.
I remember knocking at the door. When I knocked at the door, the rock and roll was just blaring in that house. And I go in, there's these Jackie Chan movies. You watch all these kung fu and that kind of stuff. Now Bobby worked out all the time. And I go in there and he's just in a pair of shorts and his body is slick with oils and that he has on there. Bobby didn't work with one set of nunchucks, he worked with two. And I had something to tell him. And I began to tell him what the Lord told me to tell him. Bobby started taking those nunchucks for him under his legs and breaking them 1/4 inch from the bridge of my nose. Whack, 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 whack. And I made up my mind that I would rather die than not tell him. I made up my mind that I would rather die right there standing in that trailer than not tell him what God told me. And finally came to the point where I'd said it all and I said, Bobby, there's men in this town that can't bench press 90 pounds, but they can rule one. Stepped out. I just left. About 12 years ago, I get a phone call from Bubba LeBumpard. Bubba was one of those kids. His daddy took him out trying to train him and stuff, and always cussing him and saying, you're not even mine. All the time telling Bubba that. You know, what a wonderful way to grow up.
Yeah.
Got a phone call, said, I want to get married. Preacher, would you marry me? Brought his bride by and dealt with him some and came to the church. Just a sad thing. Just look at that. It's kind of like throwing an ice cube in the bonfire. You don't think that's going to last. He'd come to church and that with that girl, and she was kind of confused. She wasn't even used to church or anything. About that time, our church in South Carolina blew to pieces. I was one of the reasons it blew to pieces, one of the main causes. Stevie Williamson took over the church. It's just busted. It's broken. And he had to preach it out of the ashes. He preached it out of the ashes. In the midst of that, Bubba LeBumpard got saved. You can go and get Sandy's website today. You can hear Bubba LeBumpard preach. And I've been told he's quite a preacher. What if Stevie had gone to baseball? What if he had taken? What if you'd gone and said, you know, I'll just get that $300,000 and play a few years and well, I'll be there afterwards. You had to go face what God could have done. I used to watch Tom Glavine preach when every single pitch was $100,000. Every single pitch. You could take his salary when he got paid per year. Look how many pitches he pitched a game. It was $100,000 every time he walked across the plate. Would it have been worth it for Bob? If Stevie made that kind of money? Anybody here want me to sell them out? Let me tell you something. I sat in Boyock, North Carolina, in a boy's home. My family living in one room. The proprietor of the place had made up his mind that I was enough. And I didn't have 2 cents to rub together.
And he's calling around every, just destroying whatever's left of my reputation. He's doing everything he can to destroy it.
And a multimillionaire called me on the phone, Jerry Butler, on the National Board of Realtors. Just the South of National Board of Realtors. This guy at the stadium there, William Bryce, he owned one of those huge things up there. We get the suites or whatever. He owned one of those. Personal friend of the governor's. Jerry said, John, I'll buy you a house. I just need someone to come and run my businesses. Jerry's getting more into politics and the media and that. And he wants someone to be a steward. All these ministers, you know, these businesses. And he said, I just need someone. I'll buy you a house, John. Set you back up. said, Jerry, I believe God will kill me. And I'm living in one room in a boys' dormitory with my family, where a place where they got crazy. They're doing everything they can to destroy it.
We moved to Franklinville 10 years ago. For 2 years, God still wouldn't do anything. God still wouldn't do anything.
Sam Allen had given me the keys to the repentance, but I had to apply them. I had to go through each of the things and think about it. And really, God had to settle all that stuff. What's wrong? What went wrong? Frank Townsend called me, Mason's pastor. He had just bought a junkyard in Orangeville, South Carolina. He said, John, I'll buy you a house. I need somebody to come and run this thing. Now there I can even go and work with a preacher. Pretty good fundamental preacher.
And again, I told him, Frank, God will kill me. How did it? How did it?
What is it worth to be with God? What is it worth? What is it worth? What's it worth to have God's way? What's it worth? What's it worth? I told my people, Brother Haynes. Brother Haynes started that church 4 years ago from scratch. Built it up where on a small Sunday they'd have 150 people. How many dollars per year was your church giving missions?
The high point about 125.
$125,000 a year. It's in a cornfield. In a town, in Sharon Township. Makes Black Creek look small. Okay? He retired from that, and he put the same work into any industry in this town. He could have homes in Myrtle Beach and here. All the nice cars you want, with the same amount of work and the same amount of success. Is that the truth or not?
Exactly,
you know that's
the truth.
Brother, is that the truth? You know that's the truth. Anybody has any business sense knows. Anybody that's been that successful in what they did, put it into it. Two of them struggling on the small Social Security checks. Drive a couple old vehicles. A little church out in the country working here with us. Okay? But what was it worth to Ken Bell? What was it worth to Lois King, who went on to become a missionary's wife? What was it worth? I watched him cry twice. Once over a man that he put much labor on, his wife dragged him out of church. The other one over Lois, the day her husband was ordained in the ministry. I watched him weep over her. What was it worth? What would you sell God for? What would you sell Him for?
Yeah.
Judas sold Him for 30 pieces of silver.
That's right.
He probably got more than what some of you are going to get.
That's right.
Okay? Better businessman. What would you sell Him for? I know I sold Him many years ago, and He was very, very merciful to me, allowing me back into the ministry. Very, very merciful. Oh, I'm telling you, merciful. Folks, you've done something tonight. You have prayed over your preachers. You've prayed over them. Because I'm going to just be honest, I don't really know how to crack some of the problems in your life. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know how to get a hold of your heart. I don't know how to reach you. I don't know what it is that's so tattooed in your head and in your thinking. I don't know what it is that makes it so hard for you to trust God and drop your pride and love Him and trust Him above all things. But I desire that.
So much.
I just so desire that. Amen. And so you've prayed for us. And you've asked God, would you please do that? Would you please do that in their lives? Please keep that prayer up. Brother closes.